many faces. And thank you to the Bank of America for putting together this carol service. If we haven't met already, my name is Glenn Burns. I am the Assistant Minister here at St. Bottlesville Aldersgate. And I just want to spend a few minutes just to chat to you guys about what Christmas is all about. Now, I don't know about you, but I love it when Christmas ads come onto the telly. Whether it's the Sainsbury's ad recreating the World War I Christmas Day football match, you might remember it, that famous football match between the Brits and the Germans in No Man's Land, or Coca-Cola rolling out the big red holiday truck each year, or even John Lewis offering you another ad where you're left scratching your head after watching and going, what the flip is that all about? Am I right? Now, one ad that really got me thinking was the Tesco's ad for this year. I don't know if you've seen it yet. If you haven't seen it, can I encourage you when you head back to your office to ditch your work and go and watch it on YouTube? I give you permission to do that. And it's about the tagline that they use at the end of it. The tagline is this: Tesco's, helping feed your Christmas spirit. But the question I have for you guys is this: what feeds your Christmas spirit? Now, it might be the first time that you hear Michael Bublé or Michael Bubbles or Mariah Carey on Spotify. It might be that Christmas movie that you watch every year as a daily tradition, whether it's Muppet's Christmas Carol, The Holiday, or easily the best Christmas movie of them all. And you know which movie I'm talking about, don't you? It's Die Hard, isn't it? Easily the best and most Christmas movie of them all. It might be that smell of pine and cinnamon that fills your home as the decorations go up, as you sip a glass of Baileys by the open fire, and you start to roll in those days. But here's the thing. Christmas will sadly come to an end, and it won't leave you completely satisfied. One day those decorations will come down. We'll stop singing along to Shaken Stevens, and we'll say goodbye to Buddy the Elf and Macaulay Culkin for another year. And the question remains, what can really feed your Christmas spirit? Can we know the true spirit of Christmas that will be with us forever? Well, in John's Gospel, we've just been looking at it and we've been reading that we discovered that the true meaning of Christmas is all about one thing. It's all about God coming to us so that we can know Him and live with Him forever. But the amazing thing about this, and we read it in John's Gospel, and just take this in for a second. God Himself made the first move. He came to dwell among us so that we could know Him. And if there's one thing I want you to take away this afternoon, it's this. The God who made us became one of us so that we can believe and find life in Him forever. And we're going to think about this sentence over the next few minutes. Let's just think about the first part of this. The God who made us. Now, to change gears a little bit, come back in time with me, use your imaginations, and imagine some Greek philosophers sitting around in their togas, pondering what the meaning of life might be. Now, they knew this as the Logos. And these academics questioned each other about what the Logos might be. And the Gospel writer, John, he takes this idea and he shows us that the Logos isn't a rationale or an idea. But the Logos, the Word, is a person. And this person, this Word, is someone John really wants us to get to know. And in John chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, you can find it on page 3. Look at me in your little booklets. It says this. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Now, I wonder if you've ever went for a long walk and you've just been amazed at the beauty of nature. Or even at night time, if you've ever looked up at the sky and seen the vast array of stars that stretch for billions of light years. Everything from a star to the smallest beating heart of a hummingbird are all made with purpose and reason. You see, creation in all of it is a mirror of the glory and beauty of God. And John tells us that the God who made all things in the very beginning was called the Word. But the Word was more than just God, for he also stands beside God. You can see that there in the text. The word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, there's a bit of mystery used in that language, but it helps us to see that the Word is the same as God. He is equal. Everything was made through him, including us. But in fact, when you think about how we ourselves were made, there's something special in that itself. Because back in Genesis, God said this, "Let us make mankind in our image." You see, even then, the God who is speaking as if there is more than just one other person there. Someone else is speaking with him. You see, this who is speaking is the Word. The Word made all things. He made us in his image. And he gave us life. This life where we seek to understand the reason, the meaning of life, the point of it all, is found back in him, the author, the creator, the one in whom we find our purpose. And the one who made us, then according to John, also became one of us. Now, I don't know if you've ever had that starstruck feeling when you've met someone famous. Let me take you back to 2011. I was doing a very different job back then. And I find myself working on the set of a music video. When I arrived, I had no idea who it was for. Myself, my colleagues, and my boss, we all speculated who it might be. And we guessed that it was someone from Belfast, but we honestly had no idea who it was as we found ourselves standing in a field in the middle of Northern Ireland. But after several hours of guessing, we found out who it was. Can anyone think who it might be? Any guesses? Let me put you out of your misery. We were working on the music video for Rihanna. She had just released her record that had Umbrella. She was at the height of her fame. She just did Ocean's 11, was it? The remake? Not very good. But all of us were just down there in this field with this A-list superstar Hollywood actress, stroke musician. And all of us were standing there thinking, what the flip are you doing here? Now, it's one thing to be standing in front of a major celebrity. But imagine standing before God. Imagine eating a meal with God. Imagine walking down the street and bumping into God. Or casually sitting down beside him in a park or in a coffee shop. I wonder if anyone ever imagined that they would ever come face to face with God. And yet we see something amazing here in John's Gospel. God became one of us. Listen again to what John says in verse 14. The Word, as we've seen, the Word is both God and with God, he became flesh and dwelt among us. In other words, God became a human being. But he didn't stop being God in order to do so. John goes on to say this in verse 14. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. See, God came into this world as his Son, Jesus Christ. And as Jesus entered this world, he humbly entered this world. No stretch limo, no entourage, no privilege or status followed him. But he was born as a baby into an ordinary family. A family whose lineage would prove one thing, that the promises of God would come true. That a child would come, a child would be born. We seen one of those promises earlier in Isaiah. And his name would be Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He would be known as Emmanuel, which means God with us. Jesus, the Son of God, the one who is described as the Word in verses 1 to 3, the one who made us in his image, takes on our image as he becomes one of us, fully human and yet also fully God. And yet, although John and many other people have seen his glory, it wasn't like a celebrity starstruck moment in that time. They didn't know who he was. In fact, if people knew who he was, then it would have been a really, really big deal. But John says this in verses 10 to 11. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. And so the question remains, though, why did Jesus come to earth? What is the point of Christmas? Well, back in verse 4, John explains to us why. Because in him, that's Jesus, was life. And the life was the light of men. As we heard in chapter 3, John explains in our problem is that we love the darkness. Because the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. Now, the reason that we love the darkness is our willful rejection of God. Just like God's own people did in the passage there. Now, some of you are thinking, that's not me. I wouldn't do that. I'm a decent person. But I know very well that it doesn't take much for us to become angry or bitter or to have hateful hearts. If you think I'm wrong, I dare you to go take the tube later at rush hour and see how you fare in that chaos. I dare you to go to Oxford Street in the middle of Christmas shopping and see how your patience is. Because the reality is, it doesn't take much for us. It just takes a little push, doesn't it? We all get angry sometimes. Our emotions flare up. And really, that anger is not something that happens to us, but that anger comes out of us. That hate. And sometimes it just needs a little shake. That anger and many other things that are deep inside us, lust, greed, and other unhealthy habits that we all have, they all lead to one thing. They lead to us being caught in the darkness and being separated from God, where there is no life. But instead of us trying to work our way towards God, God comes to us in Jesus. The Word who made us became one of us, so that we can believe and find life in him forever. Now, belief is a funny word. It's a funny word for us today because we usually associate it in one of two ways. Either we believe in something cryptic that others struggle to believe in, whether it's in legendary creatures, like some people believe in the Loch Ness Monster or Bigfoot, and others believe in aliens or UFOs, or some believe in conspiracy theories that are larger than life. I was trying to think of a couple, and the only ones I could think of are that aliens built the pyramids and the royal family are all a bunch of lizard people. Now, which one do you want to choose? Bit weird. Now, belief isn't like willing something to be true either. Now, you might know the scene in Elf where Santa's sleigh breaks down and he tells Buddy it's because there's not enough Christmas spirit. Why? Because kids don't believe in Santa anymore. Oh. But if more kids believe, there's enough Christmas spirit, and Christmas will be saved. Now, that's a really sweet thing. But the Bible doesn't talk about belief in either of those ways. Belief isn't in a legend, or belief isn't in willing something to be true. In the past, God's promises were to point towards the coming of his Son, Jesus. He asked his people to believe or to trust in him and his word. John tells us that he has written this book here so that you will know who Jesus is. That he is the Son of God who came to this earth through the evidence of those who have seen him, those who have witnessed him, so that you will believe that those promises God made in the past have come true. But why is that so important? Why does it matter if we believe or not? What's in it for us? What's in it for you and for me? Well, here's why. Jesus came at Christmas time so we can not only know and believe in him, but also find eternal life in him. See, with Jesus, the spirit of Christmas could truly last forever. Once you understand what the spirit of Christmas really is, it is God and man dwelling together forever. John puts it this way in verse 12. He says this, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." You see, the problem that separates us and God is that darkness, that sin that dwells in our hearts. That sin has been dealt with by Jesus, who comes as light and life. and that light overcomes the darkness. You see, God did this because he loves the world. He loves the world so much, he loves you so much, that he gave his one and only Son for you. So if you believe in Jesus, you too can have eternal life. But if there's more than that, and we've seen it in our passage. If you believe in Jesus, you are a child of God. Not because of anything you have done, but because Jesus makes you one. And in a world striving to find meaning, identity, and understanding, there's an amazing sense of peace in finding out that we don't have to do anything to gain that meaning. We just need to believe in the one who has done it all for us. Why? Because you were made to know your God. And in Jesus, you can do just that. See, Jesus is not some ethereal being. He's not a spirit or a ghost or a mystical entity. Jesus, as God, walked on this earth. He lived amongst people like you and me. And he gave his life for us so that we can know him. See, those who believe in him, those who believe in what he has done for us, are given the promise and hope of eternal life. Now just imagine that for a moment. Imagine if that feeling of Christmas never went away. Imagine that you could wake up and know joy deep down in your heart. To know that you are fully spiritually fed because of the life that Jesus can give you. A life that's to the full, that dwells deep down in your heart and offers you the promise of being with him forever and ever. If you want to find out more, can I encourage you to please read this booklet to find out for yourself who Jesus is? It only takes you, what, an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours? I mean, what are you going to do over Christmas, especially in that weird lull between Christmas Day and New Year's Eve when you don't know what day it is? Please read this. Please find out for yourself who Jesus is. In your booklet, you will also see this flyer here, which can tell you more about what we do here at St. Bottles. Please join us in the new year on Tuesdays at lunchtimes, where we'll be seeing for ourselves who Jesus really is as we look at another gospel account, the Gospel of Mark. But that's all for me. I would love to chat to you afterwards if you have any questions, if you want to find out more about who Jesus is. But in the meantime, I hope you have a very Merry Christmas. And please know that nothing will give you more joy or satisfaction than knowing Jesus, the Son of God, the one who came to dwell with us at Christmas and gives us life so that the spirit of Christmas can dwell with us for all eternity. We're going to finish.